So one of the important halachot that we were discussing is the halacha of klei se'uda. What does it mean that you use a keli for food purposes? So we basically summarized it that anything that is used to either make the food edible, used with the food after it's become edible, to serve or to prepare or to eat would be required tevilat kelim, as long as it touches the food. And then if anything is used at an earlier stage, it's not edible yet, such as a shechita knife or other things along the way, would be a machloket of whether or not you have to do tevilah without a beracha, with a beracha. No one says with a beracha, but without a beracha is a machloket of what's the case? Is it anything along the way? Is it anything that could be used for other purposes that requires tevilah? Those were discussions primarily for Ashkenazim. But even for Sfaradim, oftentimes you find Posikim recommending one be Machmir.
Okay, it might be a silly question, but is it possible that something that's that requires Tevilah, Zoraita, would not require Bracha? Is that even a possibility?
Usually not. If it requires Tevilah in the Torah, it should have a Bracha. I assume so. But if it's a Safek, whether or not we should do it, so then we'll say it's Safek.
It's made of Barzel.
Right, but we don't use it for Klei Seudah.
Right.
So therefore, no Bracha. You know, it's not part of the suda. It's not. You can't eat it after you shecht it.
So a chopper, a mixer,
those things.
Food processor.
So some of those things, the food isn't edible yet. Some things that you use it with, they're not edible yet. Put a sweet potato into a food chopper, you still can't eat it. You still have to cook it. So according to that, if you only use it for sweet potato, patur. But you're probably going to use it for onions, for carrots, whatever other things.
Maybe those are edible before you put them in the
exactly.
Process.
So now whatever you're going to do is then. So the question is, what do you do once it's edible already? Is that considered a big tikkun or big enough tikkun that you should have tevilah on it or not? When you saw by bread knives, the Sfaradim assume at least from the Beit David, the Chidah quotes that bread knives require tevilah even with the beracha. So if a bread knife, you could eat the bread even without the knife, without cutting it. If a bread knife requires it, that's called klei seuda. So certainly for all the other chopping and whatever that you do, especially for salad, if it's an raw, edible raw salad, then you have to do tevilah with the beracha.
So let's say the majority of an item, let's say a food processor, it does not make food edible. But let's say in the scenario where you take cooked chickpeas and you make hummus with food processor, that one scenario, do you go by the rove of what it's used for, or do you go by the possibility that it could be used for something yet?
We hold rove tashmisho. Rove. Ashkenazim, we want to be machmir. When we start talking about when you buy scissors to cut paper, and then you're like, your wife needs scissors to cut the chicken.
To interrupt the curriculum, just...
No. It's, we'll get there, but I'm saying these things are so intertwined. It's going to keep on coming up. I'm trying my best to like make it modular, but at the end of the day, like I have to like talk to you. Keurig machines! Oh, wait, we're going to talk about that later. But Keurig machines! Let's talk about it later. Like, okay, we'll get there. Yeah? We'll get there. But either way, yeah. This is a very important question of klei seuda and how to handle it, and just the halacha appears later, but it's true here too. Rov tashmisho. Majority. Ashkenazim say, even if you want to use it arai, temporarily, for something else, you should still take it to mikveh first.
It's
fine. No. So I say, no. You bought scissors to cut paper from Staples, and your wife needs to cut the chicken, there's nothing else around, and she's not looking, you want to take the stickers, the Staples scissors, and cut the chicken with her. It's fine.
Would Rav Avadia say that those same scissors, if you use them three times, like, let's say, you just... keep needing them. Like, it wasn't intended for that purpose to begin, but you keep needing them.
Are you still using them for paper? Is paper the rove? Rove.
For sure, it's the rove. But so let's rove. Say every other week, you're asked to pass over the scissors.
It's fine. Rove. Oh. Rove all the way. Oh, I think so. I don't know. What do you think
of it? Still do without a bracha.
Like, can also, yeah. Yeah. If you want, you can always do things out of there. It's always fun. You can always do it. But it's not necessarily. Well, now, what about the three things in the flyer that I put in? I don't know if you guys noticed the three things in the flyer is the lalik icicle leaf tray bowl. There's the dome, down, I don't know how you pronounce it, bowl. And then there's the Alessi platter with the gingerbread man. I didn't put any Michael Aram, I forgot. But but I used to work in Janet's collection, so I'm very, she's my second cousin, so I'm very familiar.
Oh, wow.
With all the things, so yeah, Baruch Hashem. So my Farsi got so polished from working there for the summers. It was great.
That's great.
But so the Lalik thing, you ever put food in it? Oh. I don't think anyone ever puts food in there. It's made of glass.
You wouldn't put cooked food in
there. You never put cooked food in there.
You might put nuts.
If might put nuts.
Might
put nuts. I don't think anyone would ever put nuts in there. So it's display only, not doing tevila. Good. The dome thing, also, probably display only.
Could put nuts in it.
You probably could put nuts in there. Question is, if you have like someone doesn't understand, who gets, imagine you marry an Ashkenazi, Shem Yazar, and your grandparents are, and your grandparents, for some reason, are okay with it. And they buy her a nice Dalik tray, and she's like, what do you do with this thing? Let me put some candy in it. Do you have to take it to the mikveh or not? Probably the answer is yes. Okay, fine.
I just fill it up with some gushers.
Okay, or if you get, or if someone buys a male, a lalik thing, and he doesn't know what to do with it. Even if he's such a it's not going to change anything. Okay, fine. So that's the thing. What about the Alessi gingerbread serving platter? Tevila with a beracha, 100%. Right? You put chicken on it, 100%. You're going to be taking that to the mikveh and reciting beracha. Even if it's not even clear shiny, it's brought to the table, 100% recited beracha. A nutcracker, touches the food, nutcracker,
it's raw,
it's not making it edible, it's not changing the food at all.
No, it's just making it edible, but it's raw.
It's just releasing the food. Eating edible raw is fine, but remember, cutting salad also, chayav with the beracha. But Rav Avadia and others say, nutcracker, even if it touches the food, the touching is secondary, it's not relevant at all to the food. It's not mitaken the food. Nut is the same nut. Therefore, patur. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, you bring that crackers to the table, chayav betvila. It's a good way to be magdir. It's his hagdara. Not every case fits that hagdara. But you bring a nutcracker to the table, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, you have to take it to the mikveh. What about a sieve? Flour sifter? Your wife wants to make challah. Does it do any tikkun? Does it help at all to make it more edible? And is the food edible right afterwards? No. Putter, Rav Shlomo Zalman says.
So it would be the same edibility as a mixer.
Mixer.
Like a baker's maybe. Mixer.
Maybe. Mixer.
Why would that be any different?
Well, the mixer might mix the food, you know, make it. What are you talking? Immersion blender, you mean?
Like mixer? A cake mixer.
A cake mixer. What's a cake mixer?
It's you know, the KitchenAid, the...
Oh, yeah, that big thing? Yeah. That's what's hacking the food, for sure. It mixes it all together. It binds it together. It makes your dough out of it. Right?
So we need to take that, probably the piece.
That piece.
Why would that be less than...
A sifter?
Yeah,
separates.
A sifter.
Separating might not be. He thinks that separating the flour from other things doesn't help the flour at all.
I mean, you're taking the clumpiness away, might be equivalent to...
Good kasha. Good kasha. I don't know. Okay, fine. I hear the kasha. I hear. I'm not sure.
I'm nobody.
I don't know. Okay, fine. Yeah, this is a good kasha. Others disagree. Rav Eliashiv and Rav Forst disagree if you should do it without a beracha or not.
I mean, yeah. If I had to guess, I would be of the opinion that the mixer would also not need...
For sure, mixer, anyway, is pre. We're talking already Ashkenazi halacha. This is pre... Edibility, do you have to do tevila for these things or not? Depends on the shach. Can you use the mixer for other things to make it out of, you know, for other places without things? No. But it's along the way, so the Taz says you have to do it. Right? It's along the way to make it edible. Same thing with the sieve. It's along the way to make it edible, so you would think that the sieve or the flour sifter requires tevila. So the Taz would say tevila without a beracha. Because it makes the food edible eventually along the way. It's in the process. Whereas the shach will say, you can't use the sifter for anything else. It won't make any food edible. So therefore, the shach would say patur. These are all issues of pre-edibility. Does this thing require tevilah or not? There's a couple different opinions in principle, and then application leads to machloket achronim about various issues, various items. Does it need tevilah at all? No, or without a beracha. Those now. I want to get into storage. Storage is a major issue. Major, major issue. If I have a big wine barrel, I have a big industrial vat made of metal, or I have this big, what's the thing that you pour the wine into? Decanter?
Decanter.
I have a big decanter. And let's say it's one that I'm not bringing to the table. It's too big. And like I use it and I pour it into other things. Whatever the situation is, I have this big glass or metal storage container that I put my food in. And I don't eat out of it. I take it out of there and I put it somewhere else afterwards in order to eat it. What's the halacha? This is a machloka between the Beit David we spoke about with the bread knives and the Beit Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Ayash, and the Beit David from Salonika. The Beit Yehuda says it's not metaken the food. Doesn't make it any more edible than it was before. It doesn't do anything to the food. It just holds food. Patur. And then the Beit David says, what are you talking about? Chayav. Chayav ibracha. You have to take it to the mikveh with the beracha for all storage containers. That's also called klei seuda. Storing edible food is called klei seuda. In fact, the Ben Ishchai says, the minhag in Baghdad for generations was, for his father, his grandfather, barrels, all sorts of storage containers, go to the mikveh and say a beracha. The Chidah quotes this machloke, it doesn't tell you which way to go. But he quotes it in such a way that he's implying that you should be machmir and do it with the beracha. That's what the Ben Ishchai says. Ravadi also says, yeah, we hold that way. Storage containers have to go to the mikveh, but we don't say a beracha.
I'm trying to think of which scenario would be barzel or metal or copper.
I'd say a factory. Oh, factories, major stuff. Hotels. Hotels have big pots or that they just like store things in. Sauteing onion in. I don't know, whatever. That's not sauteing. Just stomp they store things in.
Pickle stuff.
Or not even that. They just leave it in there. It's the barrel that they chuck all the onions in before they use them. Whatever it is. All those industrial things, it's a machloket for that storage. Some say yes, some say no, patur legamre. So Rav Avadya says, you want to say patur legamre? You have amal lismoch. Ken Yishchai says, say a beracha. Rav Avadya says, better not to say a beracha. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, that's only if you don't need to drink out of. A wine bottle is brought to the table. You're going to drink out of that bottle. Snapple bottle.
Hold the wine bottles.
Let's talk about some wine bottles later. Good. So, Snapple bottles also, in theory, are chayav.
Wine bottles are glass. So
good. So you should be chayav. Take it to the mikveh. Right?
That's so funny.
Snapple bottles also used to be made of glass, so you should take it to the mikveh.
Yeah.
So, we'll talk about that later. What about a salt shaker? Store salt.
Oh.
Right? Let's say you buy this big thing of salt in a glass container. You're not taking the huge thing of salt to the table. It's usually not in glass. So let's say it's in glass. You're not taking it to the table. Or a big thing of spices. You're also not taking that to the table. But you'll use that to pour into something else, like a salt shaker or whatever. And then you'll take that to the table. That's exactly the issue here. Salt shakers are at the table. You literally take that and you pour it on the food. That's chayav bevracha. Everyone says. Now this is where it gets interesting. What about a refrigerator?
What if it's like... Oh wait, you said only ceramic? No.
Ceramic is patur. What about a refrigerator?
I mean, when there's anything that you actually come in contact with the food, there's always like some kind of like separation, like the container that the food sits in, and then it's in there.
When you buy onions, where do you put them? Or tomatoes, where do you put them?
You don't refrigerate onions.
You don't refrigerate onions. Let's say you don't know that you don't refrigerate onions. Okay. I know people who don't know that. Okay. Or let's say it's safer to refrigerate your onions.
Never. It molds. It'll mold 3 to 10 times fast. Like 5 times fast.
Let's say it's cleaner to refrigerate your onions.
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes have to be refrigerated, right?
Yeah.
And I worked at Blue Apron for 2 summers. I worked at Blue Apron. First 2 summers were 100 Flowers. Second 2 summers were at Blue Apron. My wife thought, when she saw my resume, this guy used to work at a flower store. He was a delivery man for flowers. And now he works at a food delivery place. What's wrong with him? And he's in Yeshiva. Was Sfardi also. I was a software engineer. But I was working in corporate. But doesn't... Don't. So anyway, so in Blue Apron, they have a thing that tells you what has to be refrigerated and what doesn't. Because when you get that box and you don't know what to do with everything, you just shove it onto the refrigerator and then it's molding. You're like, hey, how come it's molding?
Right.
You don't know what to do. So that's... Your cucumbers have to be refrigerated, right? So that's what do you do with your cucumbers? You just put them. Usually they're packaged. Fine. Let's say it's in the bag. Put them in the drawer. Let's say the drawer is made of glass.
Right.
The drawer is made of glass. Do I take the drawer to the mikveh? Or is it storage? Okay, it's storage. Take the storage you hold. Take it to the mikveh also, right? So therefore, if someone's Zalman says the refrigerator itself stores food, and it's made of metal, but first of all, its food doesn't always touch it. Things are plastic, whatever. But also, it's made to be stationary. That's not called a kli. Hilchot Tuman Taura. It's not called a kli ha'omed lenachet. It's made to be stationary. It's patur. The drawer is also part of the refrigerator, even if they're made of glass, Rosh Hashanah says. Patur. Plus, it's storage. So there, we can make it on storage, Rosh Hashanah says. But the ice cream mold, the ice mold, If it's made of glass, for whatever reason, or metal, that's going to be chayav bitvila. Obviously, our refrigerators might not reflect these realities.
The ice maker itself is metal in the refrigerator.
Oh, but it's attached to the refrigerator, and the refrigerator is meant to stay. It's an ice drawer. Ice drawer might be made of glass. So, okay, that's another thing to keep in mind. That might have to go. So he says...
Portable fridge.
Therefore what? Solve all your problems. Okay. Oh, in that way, it is meant to move. No, it's meant to stay, though.
Yeah.
It's not to stay. So are those who say you should be machmir by a fridge and shelf things? I think Rav Ben Chaim says storage is chayav. You should ask your rabbi. But for further clarification. Snapple bottles we'll get to. Now, what about a meat thermometer?
Wait, Snapple bottle?
Snapple bottles. It's storage, but you drink from it. So it's really close to Uda. So we'll get to why. The glass ones. It's a vestige of history now. The glass Snapple bottles. When your kids are older, you'll have to tell them, you know, Snapple used to be in a glass bottle. Whatever. But that's the issue of storage. Now, what about meat thermometers? Meat thermometers?
You don't take it to the table.
You don't take it to the table.
But it's used in the process of cooking.
It's used in the process of cooking, but does it do anything in the process of cooking to the food?
No.
Not really. It's just as useful to the food as your, you know, fork that's not touching the food, as your scissors from Staples. It's not literally, it's touching the food here.
But it's meant for
the process
of cooking. It's not like a scissors.
The process of cooking means...
The car is not food.
Right.
The car of the meat thermometer is food.
Right, but process of cooking means it does something to the food even before it's edible. Here, it doesn't do anything to the food. It's touching the food.
It does as much as the chopper.
The chopper cuts the food and increases surface area and whatever.
This
doesn't do anything to the food.
It would be unedible unless you knew the temperature of the chicken.
But it's not making it edible. The heat is making it edible.
No, but it's a tool that helps you make it edible.
So you think it's chayav?
It's
a machloket. It's a machloket. That's always the answer.
Yeah.
It's always the answer. But there's a strong svara to say that it's patur de gamri. I think the Starkane and OU both say.
What do the CRC say about it?
CRC says patur de gamri. But the OU and the Starkane say that it is chayav da'ad beracha. And the CRC of David Cohen says that it's not metaken anything. So it should be patur de gamri. Right. Now that's the issue of things. That's the issue of storage. And just a couple more small things before we move on to electronics, if we have time, is that Hashem, the coffee grinder. Coffee grinder is early on in the process. It's not edible yet. Before you...
Are coffee beans edible?
Coffee grinds are still not edible. Even if coffee beans aren't edible.
Coffee beans are edible.
If you cover them in chocolate, they're edible. It's still gross, but it's edible.
Yeah.
Chacham Ben Tzion Abba Shaul wouldn't waste time making a coffee. He would take a spoon, put it in the ground coffee,
and
put it right into his mouth.
No way.
It says in the biographies.
Oh, wow. Hero.
It's utterly disgusting. But okay.
He's a
hero. 100%. So coffee grinders. I would say butlat.
Torah to the side. I won't even waste a moment.
Making a coffee. No. Because when you make the coffee, you have to talk to someone also. So anyway, so therefore, the Pitchei Tshuva is Pitchei Tzedek Ben Ishchai. Coffee grinder does not. So Ravadia says patur de gamre. But there were those who said. No, without a beracha. Ben Yishchai, Zuchay Tzedek, they all say coffee grinder should have tevila without a beracha because they're being machmir.
It's just the blade, though. It's not the grinder itself.
Right, but it's batel. All the ikar is the blade. Everything else is batel to the blade. So therefore, it's all tafel to the blade. So you have to be tovel the whole thing. Ikar and tafel. Whatever, even if a little spiralizer, someone asked me once. A plastic spiralizer.
Right.
99% plastic, one metal blade.
Yeah.
Metal blade is ikar. You have to be matvil the entire thing. So, here by the coffee grinder, it's not used to cook at all. It doesn't make the food edible. Shulchan Aruch says patur. Ravadi says that way too. Patur. But, it's used in the process of making it edible. And the grinder could be used to grind things that are going to become edible also. So, for both the Taz and the Shach, we'll tell you for Ashkenazim, do tevila.
On a coffee grinder.
On a coffee grinder. And that's what the Ben Yishchai and Zifchei Tzedek both say, do tevila without a beracha.
Ravadi says
Patur, buddy. Right. Still needs cooking. And kol shekin is it's an electric coffee grinder, which we'll discuss in a minute. Halachot of electric items.
What does RBH say?
RBH didn't say anything. I don't know what he said on this one. I assume Ravadia. Moriv Ravi. Chacham Ravadia says, Miani lachok alav. You know, that's the usual answer. Fine. Can opener? Might touch the food. But it's much better than a nutcracker. You don't even bring that to the table.
I mean, the rolling can opener?
Rolling can opener.
The food, but the anchor, like a cranking can opener, does touch the food.
Cranking can opener.
You know the one that has a hook and no one knows how to use it?
No.
No? It's like a shape of like a hook, kind of. It's like a sharper point, and then it like has like a loops around.
No,
I got it. You hold it up like, it looks like a six that doesn't meet all the way.
You gotta send me a picture.
Yeah.
I only got married 3 years ago, buddy. I haven't cooked a thing since.
Even a 10-year-old should know this
one. Okay. That is that. I'll take the Musar.
I'll take
the Musar.
Ben Torah doesn't need to know this.
Stuff. I'll throw one more question at you. What about dentures? Dentures. Dentures.
Metal?
It's not a process of
cooking. It's not a process of digesting. It's not the...
So Rosh Hashanah says, it doesn't make sense that a kli that's used by one person, your dentures are only used by you, nobody else can use them.
Yeah.
Should be called clay suda. That's called eating. It's not digesting. It's eating. Ravadi is like, excuse me. Who cares about this svara? It's not metal. Why would you be chayav? It's not metal.
There are metal parts in it.
That's what I was thinking. First of all, there's a metal band on the bottom sometimes. And let's say they're all made of gold. He wants really spitz, blinged up dentures.
Wow,
he has the grill. He has the grill.
Oh, grill.
So he has the grill. So is he chayav on his grill or not? So then, for the guys who live in the hood, Rosh Hashanah says, patur. For everyone else, Ravadia says, patur. So it's a flip. Ashkenazim to Sephardi. Okay. Anyway, it's a joke. Fine. Now, electrical kalim. 10 minutes is not enough time for this, but we'll try. 10 minutes. Bezrat Hashem. Electrical kalim is a... I didn't dive in yet, but Bezrat Hashem. Electrical kalim are a great thing. The Chelkat Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Breisch, was a rabbi in Switzerland after World War II, after the Holocaust, and he was a major posek, and he had this question. What happens if I have an immersion coil? I take this coil, has some wires in it, I dip it in hot water, turn it on, heats up like a heating element, and it boils the water. Is it chayav in tevila or not? He said...
You know, those coils are usually made of glass, like a toaster's coil, oven coil, those are made of glass.
So therefore...
For sure, if you're dipping it in the water, you would.
Cool. So therefore he said, well, okay, so then what should you do? Maybe if you put it in water, it'll short circuit when you turn it on and die. Right?
Why?
It's electrical. It plugs into the wall. Whenever you have an electrical kli...
I thought we were just talking about like something that's like really hot. Just like
no, literally, it's a heating element, literally a heating element that's waterproof, at least partially waterproof.
Okay.
If you want to put the whole thing in though, it'll short circuit.
You know what a sous vide is? I don't have one. Almost called. He's charcoal. I don't have a sous vide yet.
Sous vide. Yeah, I know.
You can still charcoal and sous vide.
Oh, I'm old school. I'm not up to sous vide yet. Maybe one day, but
yeah,
that is a heating element.
I don't know.
A heating element that boils the water at a consistent temperature, mm-hmm. and it has a thermometer on it. It's just pretty much like a metal rod that has heating elements all
over
it.
Right. I think I saw a picture once. Yeah.
Into the water.
Yeah, I don't know what the halacha would be. I'm looking into it.
That's what it is.
It's heating element.
Is
it plugged into anything?
Yeah, you plug it into the wall, and it's a heating element.
So
you put it in
like
a pot or something?
Sorry. Chalent pod. The kapara of the cholent pot. Usually you can just take out the insert and put that in the mixer. Yeah, so then that's fine. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
Just the insert. But what about...
But a sous vide, it wouldn't necessarily, it wouldn't be touching the food. The sous vide is the heating element that will boil the water, and the water is, or something else. So in that scenario, would that rod...
That's a good question. You're not drinking the water.
Like a grandma kind of.
Right. So there's a question about what happens if you have like an oven. Not an oven, a heater, like a water boiler that's used to boil water for heat, not for drinking. Is that chayav or not? That's a question the post can talk about. It's not clay suda. I'm not eating it. Right? So.
Why don't you ruin it?
Ruin what?
By dipping it.
It's designed. It's
But can you put the whole thing in? No, can you put the whole thing in with the cord?
No, you're not the cord.
Oh.
Right? When you do see that killing, you have to do the entire thing.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Okay.
You can really dip a toaster out. Don't you shake it out after?
So that's the thing. If there's water on the boards inside, it'll short circuit when you plug it in.
If it's still wet inside, yeah.
Yeah, so how long do you have to wait for it to dry out?
I'm sure you just need the surface to get wet. You just have to give it one of those. You don't have to submerge it, like, you know, drown it until all the bubbles come out.
Yeah,
you
might have to. Yeah.
No, Rabbi, come on. Don't make it so complicated. It's just the surface. It's not the inside.
But if there's an inside also, that's going to hold food.
The inside has a touch food.
If I have, let's say, a Keurig machine. The Keurig machine has a heating container inside of the machine.
If you could remove that heating element from the rest of the whole mechanism of the machine and dip that, would you be chayav to dip the entire machine?
It's a question, yeah, maybe you do, because it's all one machine when you use it. It doesn't work without the rest of the machine.
No, you just dip the part that's touching, that coming.
No, it doesn't work without the rest of the machine.
So the chillin' pot.
The chillin' pot is okay, because it's a pot on its own, it's fine. But let's say you can put food in the pot, and it's fine. You can even put the chillin' pot on a fire, and it'll work. But the inside the Keurig thing, you need the pump to get the water through the thing, into the heating thing, heat it up, take it through, and there's two needles that go like this into the K-cup, and water comes out from the top and into the bottom. It's a whole question. Lamashal. There's plenty of other kelim also that, a toaster, whatever, you can't like separate out. Like, you need the inner chamber to go fully into the water, plus the cord and everything else. So air bubbles, I don't know. That's a question in mikvahot. I don't know about air bubbles right now.
But didn't we mention that you don't have to dip the handle of the knife?
No, that's for hagala. For tevilah, you do. For tevilah kelim, you have to dip the entire kli.
We had the whole debate of like dipping your hand in there.
You have to dip the entire kli.
That was for like a plate. That was the regarding
everything.
A plate or a pot.
Every kli got to go all the way in. There is a.
Rabbi, the knife has a wooden handle. It's a full tang blade, meaning the metal goes to the end through the wooden handle, but it's a wooden handle.
It's one kli.
One kli.
One kli.
The whole thing needs to get...
One kli, whole thing goes in. I thought you were chidush
atzum. Does it have to be one shot? Can you go half this side, flip it over, make your hand obviously?
Not for tzvila.
And then half the other way?
Not for tzvila. Tzvila is one shot KO. Just like when a woman goes to the mikveh, every hair has to go in. When a kli goes to the mikveh, every part has to
even
go in.
Even if something is not, doesn't need a bracha,
even
still...
the entire thing, it's like all or nothing. All or nothing. It's crazy. It's hard. It's hard. So every individual kli, every individual kli has to go entirely in. So which Rav Moshe Feinstein has an unbelievable chidush. Let's say I have a hot water urn, he says. And there is a heating element right here. Or I have whatever item, and there's a heating element up here, let's say. And this part contains the food. And the heat comes down, let's say, for whatever case. Okay. Right? Rav Moshe says, you can put up until here into the mikveh, because it's really two kelim that are held together in the middle. And there are two different functions, Rav Moshe says. This part heats, this part contains. Rav Moshe says, you can look at it as if it's split, put it this far into the mikveh, and then, isn't there a chatzitza here? Rav Moshe says this is called beta starim. This is always covered. That's like a person's body. When a person, woman goes to the mikveh, man goes to the mikveh, he doesn't have to open his mouth. His mouth is always closed. He doesn't have to open his body or the folds of his body entirely. There are some parts that are inherently called beit hastarim. A woman doesn't have to open herself on the inside from the bottom. It's always closed. That's called Beit HaStarim. It's inherently closed. So too, Rav Moshe says, the point of union of these two kelim, because they're always closed, it's not a chatzitza, and therefore, you can go up until the point of union, cover it, and it's okay. That's chidush, atzum, mechudash, extremely questionable. That's Rav Moshe's thing.
Does Rav Avadia argue that?
I don't know if everybody says I'm on that one. Rav Shechter says it's very mechudash. I think Rav Chaim also is like, no, to that. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that you don't have...
It's going to ruin the machine.
Yeah.
You still have to do it?
We'll see. I'm not going to be able to get through everything right now, so I'll have to just talk a little bit more on the outside. Of the issues are, do... electric things require tefillah. Some people say you take your things, electric things in, you chuck them in the mikveh, wait a few days, it dries out, and it's okay. Things that can cause problems with the kli, can ruin the kli, can shorten its use, its life as a kli. Mm-hmm. You have to know some electricity and magnetism. There are these things called resistors that are made to constrain the current that goes through the circuit board. When you plug it into the wall, there's a lot of electricity coming through. So there's a resistor on the circuit board that prevents more than X volts to come through. So when you put water on top of that circuit board, you made a bridge. This is often Rav David Cohen, it's electricity chapter. So you create a bridge, and it circumvents the resistors, and now you have a huge surge of electricity, and that's called a short circuit, because you basically blew the circuit. It can't handle that much electricity. So other issues are, when you fill it with water, sometimes the water isn't dry enough, and then you have the short circuit. Or the water gets caught in places that it shouldn't be, like in the LCD screen, and it'll never come out. It'll never dry. Months later, it won't be dry. Lots of issues with tefillah kelim and electronics. Let's do it next time, b'zayat Hashem. But it's a real issue to know what the halacha is.
This is the main star tonight. The picture you sent.
What can I do? What can I do? I'll do it next time. We've got to go to Daven Arvit.
How many classes have we
had
so far? This is the fifth class.
This is number six.
This is number six?
Yeah. I'm trying not to make it take so long, but lots of issues. So I guess we'll do electricity for the next first half next time. And we'll start matters of ownership. If we can get through ownership quickly, you know, who selling it to a goy, buying it back from a goy, probably will take a whole shiur. And it was the disposables, and that should basically be it, more or less. Maybe a couple more after. One more after that.
And then we'll discuss what we're going
to
do
after. Yeah, we'll talk about more topics for later.
It's
tight.
Mechila.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I was at my friend's house, and the ice cream truck came by.
Kosher ice cream?
So I went to him, and I said, are you kosher? And he's like, yeah. He like takes out the materials, it all says you and everything.
Yeah, wonderful, right?
It's owned by a goy.
Yeah.
Right? The goy owns all the